I would like to draw your attention to the fact that this so-called Skripal case, now we are being overwhelmed by misinformation, and I will talk about it later in more detail. The absurdity of the situation is that for some reason the United Kingdom thinks it is possible to accuse Russia of using fake news. Well, the indignation felt by the Russian citizens is quite understandable. We are receiving hundreds of letters a day from the Russian citizens that are demanding a very harsh response. Everything has this indignation that is not baseless is now turning into sarcasm and is now generating a lot of sarcastic remarks, as well as a video on the internet, various photos and memes and so on. It could be funny and we could laugh at it, but it's not the case, and I would like to ask everyone to keep in mind that the Russian citizens that are now in the United Kingdom, I'm talking about Mr. Skripal and his daughter Yulia Skripal, they are in a critical condition. Well, and we are basing our assumption only on the information that we're learning from the media. So we believe it is necessary to respect the private life of those people. These people are our compatriots that are now in a very harsh situation. I would like to say that we have been requesting some information through official channels regarding the situation with the Skripal case. We are requesting our consular access. Meanwhile, we are maintaining contacts with the family of victims. The Russian embassy in London has contacted one of their relatives, Victoria Skripal, and our diplomats are sharing the information they have on the health condition of her family. They are reporting on some efforts made to grant access to Russian citizens, as well as some information regarding the investigation by the British authorities. And the family is finding itself in this absolutely hellish wave of misinformation. So Victoria Skripal is planning to visit her relatives in the United Kingdom in order to support them psychologically and morally. We believe it is a very natural and sincere desire, and that is of great relevance now when we are hearing that Yulia Skripal is feeling better. Now Victoria Skripal has filing a request for visa, filling in all the necessary documents, and we hope that the British embassy will help her in this process, and we hope that it will happen so, because it is a situation of humanitarian importance. It is absolutely non-common situation. So we will provide all necessary assistance to Victoria Skripal while here and while she is in the United Kingdom. And now I would like to comment on the remarks made by a chemical laboratory in Portadown. As you know, the head of this department, that, as far as we can see, is a very closed and non-transparent department, Gary Aitken, has said that he cannot confirm that the nerve agent that used for poisoning Skripal and his daughter was produced in Russia. According to him, the chemical lab could not trace its origin, but they have provided some scientific data to the British government that used a lot of other sources in order to make their assumptions. Meanwhile, we all know quite well from the British media which assumptions they made. We're hearing it every day, and every day we're presented with a new version of what had happened. The British has made a direct accusation saying that Russia has been engaged in misinformation campaign, producing fake version. And they say that for some reason Russia is producing those fake versions. Meanwhile, they are quoting the opinions by experts, professionals, by representatives of academia, as well as the different journalists, saying that their statements made during television debates as some official statements or version made by the Russian Federation. I would like to stress that Moscow is not trying to impose any versions. Over the last month, we have been trying to get some information from the British. Meanwhile, we are receiving a lot of questions from Russian and international journalists over the accusations made by London against Russia. And only by answering this question, trying to find, well, at least some hints that could lead us to understanding of the situation. And when doing this, we are not voicing any versions, but we are trying to base our answers on some facts. And the official position of the Russian Federation is being formulated through our answers to the media questions. I would like to emphasize one more time that Russia has no official data, just trying to find anything, any hints that could clarify the situation. Meanwhile, the United Kingdom has all the necessary information that has become confidential, and there are a lot of leaks by anonymous sources, anonymous experts, and anonymous representatives of some official bodies. And the versions that we're hearing in the media are being based on those anonymous hints. So we are hearing that Skripals were poisoned by an opioid fentanyl. Then later we heard that a bunch of flowers that they brought to the cemetery could be poisoned. Then we heard that this nerve agent was in the car ventilation system, or probably one of the vehicle parts was poisoned. Somebody said that Skripals could be poisoned just out in the street. And supposedly the police said that some civilians, just residents of Salisbury, could also be poisoned by this nerve agent. And public health authorities in the United Kingdom recommended to anyone who visited Meal or Zizi pub that Skripals visited that day to wash their clothes and to clean their phones. And, well, can you imagine that? That against the backdrop of all the other information that we have, against the statements that the nerve agents, the chemical weapons we used for this poisoning. Then we had another version that a door handle in Skripal's house was poisoned. Then we had another version that this agent was put on some items in Yulia Skripal's suitcase, or probably that her makeup kit was poisoned, or probably she got a present that also was poisoned. And another version is an absurd one, that this poisoning agent was brought in a package of buckwheat with some spices, or in a package with laurels that Yulia Skripal did manage to get from Moscow and asked her friend to bring it to London. So we can see that somebody is trying to misinform me, just keeping it a hot button issue, giving new versions each day. Meanwhile, well, I would like to remind you that all the information is in possession of the United Kingdom and it is confidential. Well, it is absurdity. Those people are in a critical health condition. Their relatives do not understand what is happening. International experts are coming to collect some samples in order to carry out some lab studies. Meanwhile, Russian official representatives in the UK cannot confirm the identity of those people. And once again, we are seeing a lot of misinformation through leaks in the media. And against the backdrop of this campaign and all the versions that are ever changing, because it looks like a never-ending spin, and we're hearing all the time, well, according to Daily Telegraph, the Russian highly professional a team of Russian criminals is involved in this case. So it is a classic case of misinformation. They're using some semi-truthful facts in order to create a media hype without giving any official statements over what is happening and how the investigation is going. Well, according to the New York Times, poisoning a door handle is a very risky task, so it could be carried out only by trained professionals, meaning Russians. And the fact that it is not possible to establish whether Putin himself ordered that, it is impossible yet because he is a very close person. But it is
scary that today an official media is dabbling in such seditious activities. This is a true informational war waged by London and Western media. We are confused regarding the fact that instead of generating all those versions and conclusions, the British law enforcement does not engage in the official investigation. Why they do not want to cooperate with the investigation which could shed the light on the actual events? And I'm talking about the Russian law enforcement bodies and the criminal proceedings initiated in Russia. And while providing all those slapdash verdicts, they do not wait for any official results through the OPCW, for example, and they do not want to cooperate with Russia as well. And why, despite the many requests, they have not provided any information regarding the investigations? So where are the transcripts of the telephone conversation of the family of Skripals? Where is CCTV camera footage? Where is the evidence of any kind of sequence, safety and reliability of collecting evidence? Where are the detailed analysis results of the Porton Down laboratory, the analysis of samples which were allegedly taken, biological samples allegedly taken from the victims? And the British have not yet responded to the requests of the Russian embassy to provide them with access to Porton Down laboratory experts. I understand that such an idea might not be something that the British side is too keen on because they have something to hide. Because Porton Down has not yet answered the very simple question. They answered many questions, but they have not answered the main question and the simple one. You, at Porton Down, have you developed this substance? Have you produced it? Have you studied it? Have your laboratory developed a kind of a sample of this Novichok nerve agent, according to the Western classification? and Portsundown has not responded to these questions. I would like to underscore once again that in breach of all the international standards and norms, Russian side has not yet been provided with consular access to the citizen of the Russian Federation. Moreover, we keep trying to gain this access. We've also verified this information, and I have not seen it published in the media, but we do have this information. We've verified it, and I can share it with you today. We have verified information that at the house of Skripals, they had pets. So why does it matter, and what does it have to do with investigation? But it has a lot to do with the investigation. If we are talking about the use of chemical agents and the many versions that we have now related to the house of the Skripals, the very place that they dwelled in. So where are those pets now? We even have an understanding of how many pets they had, but again, this is a question to pose to the British side. So where are the pets? What is their condition? And why the British, who keep leaking the information about the investigation to the media, have concealed this very important fact? We are talking about living bodies, and if nerve agents were indeed used in the house, as reported by the British media, citing unknown sources, then those pets should have been injured and wounded as a result. And why so swiftly, without a trial, they have accused Russia, considering that this nerve agent could be potentially produced in 20 countries, including the laboratory situated just in several kilometers away from the site of the attack? Nobody responded to that. And Russia tries to advocate for logic, for a transparent investigation, and tries to advocate dialogue regarding the Salisbury attack. However, the British try to deliberately build up their disinformation campaign. They're not providing any evidence. They're not providing any facts. They're building their theory on the highly likely assumption. We're not talking about the breach of the presumption of innocence principle. We are talking about the unwillingness of the Security Council member and nuclear power, and that is the power which holds special responsibility for the international stability, to be engaged in a logical, open and just dialogue with another state with the use of bilateral channels and international platforms, including the OPCW. Another topic. I would like to draw your attention to this information, and it can be freely accessed. As soon as we see a lot of leaks from the British media, and they are trying to make use of unverified information, I would like to highlight this information, which has long been on the internet and is not now a thing of interest for the British or for the British political establishment. According to WikiLeaks website, after the publication of the now notorious book of Mirzayanov, the US and the UK have actively been trying to water down international discussions regarding the book and regarding the nerve agent belonging to the Novichok family of agents. As it turned out, in April of 2009, Hillary Clinton came up with an instruction for the members of the delegation of the State Department, which was then going to the Group of Australia meeting. This is an informal group of Western countries. It is headed by the US, and they negotiate on the export control of materials related to weapons of mass destruction. And those instructions compiled by Hillary Clinton in case the negotiations with city discussions of the nerve agent Novichok and or Mirzayanov's book. This instruction did not appear out of nowhere. After the publication of the book, the experts from another number of countries which were working on chemical weapons, including within the framework of the OPCW, those experts started asking questions, and those were not questions they were prepared to answer. So those instructions had five main points, and it would be wonderful if at the briefing of the State Department we would comment on that. The first item, to avoid any substantial discussion of the Mirzayan book, and I can even cite the original
book, State Secrets. Пункт второй.
Item two, do not launch and do not provoke any conversation regarding the book and do not have any substantial discussion if the aforementioned topic arises in the conversation.
Provoke conversation about the book or engage substantively if it comes up in conversation.
One more item, to report on any cases of the mentions of the book.
Insistence in which the book is raised. Четвертый пункт.
Item four, to express your lack of knowledge regarding the aforementioned topic. Can you imagine that the instruction of the State Department for the experts on such agents, and those experts are well aware of the book and of the issue, and this instruction stipulates that those experts going to this group meeting to not give away their awareness of the topic. And in English, it's
of familiarity with the issue. Последний пункт.
And the last item, to carefully create obstructions to the substantial discussions of the topic while suggesting leaving this question to the experts in the capitals. And not long before those instructions were compiled, on the 28th of March in 2009, in a telegram from Prague, this information could be found on the internet. Maybe some would try to refute it or maybe to confirm it. The American diplomats report that they have instructed their colleagues from the Czech Ministry of Affairs that they do not want to have a public discussion of the chemical agents of the next generation. The media in the Czech Republic have been actively criticizing us because we keep mentioning Prague in the context of the Skripal case. But this is not fortuitous. There are a lot of questions to be answered, but those questions should be answered by the citizens of the Czech Republic, but not for us, but for themselves. They should understand what kind of games they were dragged into and what kind of games they are forced to play. Those games focusing around chemical agents which have this very specific purpose. Do they, the citizens of the Czech Republic, understand what is the situation like in their country within the framework of the scientific studies carried out by NATO? And do the officials and the representatives of the services of this very country have something to do with the studies and research carried out by NATO in their country? I would like to underscore one more time that those materials could be found on the internet. This should be a cause for a national investigation. Moreover, as the American telegram from Prague shows, as now everyone knows, this is where the OPCW headquarters is situated. Before this situation, experts were only aware of that, and now even children know where it's situated. The representatives of the Ministry of Defense of the UK, the truth country, have been carrying out negotiations with their colleagues from Finland while insisting on avoiding the topic of Novichok. And this all falls into place as this scary jigsaw puzzle, which shows the actual picture of what the world looks like right now, and what London is trying to drag other countries into, and London is supported by Washington. In the 90s, the research of such engines were carried out in Edgewood and were carried out on the basis of the Department of Defense. And this A-234 were in the database of the National Institute of the U.S., where they compile data about all the newly synthesized organic substances. And in the year 2000, out of the considerations of national security, they have deleted this information from the database. Then they came up with those kind of instructions. At the same time, the structural formula for the Novichok agents, which allows to recreate this agent in any kind of high-tech laboratory, was first presented in the Mirzayanov book. You should take into consideration that in accordance with item 1 of article 1 of the CWC, every member of the organization shall not develop, produce, acquire, by any other means, not to stockpile, not to safeguard, and not to share directly or indirectly chemical weapons to whatever party. In this way, the publication of the Novichok formula, which was brought about by the US, can be considered as sharing the knowledge about chemical agent. That is the appropriation of the chemical agent and a flagrant violation of the CWC. It is not surprising that the State Department recommended to their employees to avoid the discussions of the topic. And now, I would remind you of the two questions that London asked us to answer. First, regarding Moscow's involvement in the Salisbury attack or our loss of control of chemical weapons. This is the very essence. The loss of control over data, over formulas, that's the end of the 90s and the start of the 2000s. The US, the UK, so on and so forth, we can see that. It's worth noting that after this revelatory book of Mirzayanov was released, the Council of the OPCW has considered whether this A-34 substance should be included into the list of the organization. And drumroll, they kept coming to the conclusion that there is no intractable evidence of its existence and of the need to classify it as a chemical toxic substance. The UK and the American scientists supported this point of view, and at the same time they were developing instructions that they were later sending to their experts. And Washington and London have presented polarized positions after the incidents. This U-turn and this synchronized actions do support the point of view that this was planned beforehand. We've also paid attention to the article of the Secretary of Defense of the U.S. He talks about that Russia's development of new long-range missiles and nuclear weapons is a serious threat, and it shows it is evidenced by the cold-blooded chemical attack in Salisbury, and it requires Britain to modernize its arms and weapons. So we are being attacked, we need more money, we need more weapons. It's evident that anti-Russian rhetoric in London is still beyond measure, and the declarations made by the officials are becoming more and more irrational. Unfortunately, this is going to be said and reiterated, and we are going to keep commenting on that. And if we are to ignore this now traditional desire to restrain our country on the international arena and to fuel anti-Russian hysteria, we can see one more reason which shows that London would benefit from fueling the Skripal case. We are told that we have motives, but our Western partners have even more motives than we do. By building an enemy out of Russia against the backdrop of the events in Salisbury, the government of the UK tries to resolve their own immediate issues, and those are very high price issues. Unfortunately, we have to follow all the publications regarding the Salisbury attack, and we have paid attention to the recent article in Handelsblatt, that's a German newspaper. This publication has outdone everything we have read regarding the distortion of Russian approaches. It was published on the 29th of March, and I would like to underscore that although Russia from the very start had been calling upon London to cooperate, they state that Moscow is silent, Moscow is being covered, and Moscow is lying with regards to the development of Novichok and tries to play the unfair game with the organization by suggesting to hold an investigation on the articles of the OPCW, which would leave Russia unmarred. Handelsblatt is not interested in any kind of information that is out there, not even Mirzayanov's book, not the State Department instructions in the US, and the many, many versions that are being leaked, and they are not being led to the conclusion that it was all planned beforehand. I believe that the rhetoric used in this case, not only by this publication, but by a number of Western media outlets, confirms that all those anti-Russian attacks were falsified. I would like to remind you that in the UK, the crime was committed against two Russian citizens, so Russia insists on all-round, highly professional and open investigation of all the circumstances to provide for proper condition to find the solution for this situation.
But I think it's a very symbolic act. Probably it's some kind of a coincidence that it was a German media that has been saying that Russia is to blame. And now I would like to take you back to the history. So please bring me the book that I have asked you. I'm going to read you everything, show you everything. So please buckle your belts, because this information is not for the fragile ones. Such campaigns that we are now witnessing in the media is quite an old issue, and the Western countries have been using it for a long time. When I'm talking about long time, I'm not talking about the new history. And the propaganda against Russia over the so-called Skripal case has been made using the old templates. But you cannot imagine how old it is. It's not even retro, it is antique. Well, let's go back to the 19th century, to the late 19th century. In many European countries, the public has been following very closely the explosions in London in 1883, 1885. And the media, of course, started making different assumptions. So there was presented one particular version saying that Russia was involved in those explosions. And guess who came up with this version? German entrepreneur and philosopher Friedrich Engels. It was his essay called The Emperor Russian Fool Private Dynamite Counselors. It was published on the 29th of January in 1885 in the German newspaper Der Sozialdemokrat. This article is included in a Russian edition of Marx and Engels' works. It was published in the 1961, and it was prepared by by a relevant body. Okay, so let's open the page number 195, and it is quoting the original text, and you can read it in Russian. Well, but of course we had to double check it, so you can see on the screen the photo images of that edition of that issue of newspaper that was published back then. On the left, you can see highlighted in white, and it was done. Yes, it's not how original looks. So you can see that the beginning of this article is highlighted in white. Well, we did it. We checked the translation, whether it is consistent with the original, because the article was published in German, and I would like to quote it. Well, one more time, Friedrich Engels, on the 29th of January of 1885, wrote the following. Well, yet I don't have any reasons to doubt that those London explosions were masterminded by Russia. Well, it sounds very much highly likely, doesn't it? Those explosions were masterminded by Russia and Russian money. Everybody knows that official Russia will use any means available if they will make them achieve the goal. Well, there are a lot of examples of what official Russia can do in order to eliminate unfavorable individuals using poison, knife, and so on. There are many examples in Balkan history over the last 100 years. Those explosions have been too well timed, and they cannot but make us ask ourselves who benefits from them. Who's interested in those explosions which seem pointless, resulting in many casualties, not only among the lower officials of the police and bourgeois, but as well as the workers and their families? Who benefits from it? I would like to say that when this article was written and published, Friedrich Engels lived in the United Kingdom. And he was working closely with the British establishment. Well, let's call it that way. Well, he cooperated with political establishment in the United Kingdom. I would like to remind you that official Germany said that Engels was a spy and was demanding London to sent him to Germany. John Russell, the British Foreign Secretary, was denying that. Doesn't that remind you of something? And, well, later, in this story that involved a lot of countries, a lot of political interests, and the historians later wrote, basing on some archive materials and sources from Scotland Yard, that the culprits of those explosions were extremist organizations, and they were named there. They had a lot of affiliated groups in the United States and European countries. The police found also those who supplied dynamite, though as the residents of different countries. But none of them had nothing to do with Russia. I would like to remind you, it was 1885. A German newspaper published an article, another accusation about Russian involvement to murder, to assassination carried out in the United Kingdom. We hope that the modern Scotland Yard will follow this historical example and will not cave in to an unprecedented political pressure put on them by their own government, framing them in a way while trying to achieve their own political goals and framing the real, true workers of law enforcement bodies as well as the academia. And we hope that the true reasons of this crime will be revealed. During the last briefing, one of the Bulgarian media representatives asked me about a publication of an independent Bulgarian journalist that was published on the 27th of March, and it is on the investigation of the Port Down laboratory. At that time, I hadn't a text of that report. Later, we have read it. And she based her assumptions on different scientific reports, articles, and publications in the media, as well as the roster of federal contracts in the United States, as well as the information from the British government, and so on. And the analysis of the data collected was presented by this journalist. She made some conclusions. Well, it turns out that Port Down hasn't ceased carrying out studies with encephalitis, with anthrax, as well as the exposure of mustard gas and phosgen using lab animals. They used more than 122,000 animals from 2005. This journalist also states that the work of Port Down was funded by the United States. Well, that is the country that hasn't up to date eliminated its chemical stockpile. Well, it is only logical. They are funding a British lab, but they have no money to eliminate their own chemical weapons. Now we're talking about the tens of millions of dollars that were provided to this chemical laboratory by Pentagon, by the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency, more than $2 million. And I hope that this information will receive some comments by the Department of State in the United States. Well, according to this research, the lab in Port Down, has also been working with chemical nerve agents, receiving over $40 million from Pentagon over the last 5 to 6 years. So where are those pills from Department of State, from Pentagon, with the briefings, Twitters? So why don't they comment on this information? It is evident that the information provided in this publication, and well, we think that the U.S. officials have to comment on them, and that they have to be studied by experts all over the world. And if this information is confirmed, then this data is inconsistent with the official goals declared by this chemical lab and can violate the provisions of the CWC. I would also like to say, and I would like to stress one more time, that we are monitoring closely all the publication on this case, and we value a contribution by anyone, and we will disavow all the lies that we're hearing in the future. And we try to double-check all the information we are receiving if they have something to do with this case. I would like to say one more thing. I have already touched upon this issue, and I would like to go back to it. Well, I'm not overestimating those figures. We are receiving hundreds of letters by Russian citizens every day. They are different, but most of them can be summarized as the following. They express the indignation and protest against the media campaign against the Russian Federation. In this regard, I would like to say that All the time, especially when it comes to the Skripal case, we are hearing the same thing from the UK authorities. They are saying that Moscow is to blame and is accountable for this case, but the Russian citizens are not responsible for this. So they are drawing a division line between the Russian government and the Russian citizens. But I would like to say to our British colleagues that you cannot even imagine what you're doing, because you cannot even imagine what Russian citizens are proposing us to do. Those proposals are quite interesting ones. We do not support them. And frankly speaking, it is very hard to imagine that Ms. May or Mr. Johnson could face if they come to some small Russian cities. We are trying to be diplomatic. We're trying to use some diplomatic channels in order to advocate for our vision. And we believe that these situations should be settled diplomatically in accordance with the international law. But I would like to say that those letters is a sign of a great protests that broke out against the background of this media hype caused by the UK authorities. I would like to quote you one letter. We're not talking about a chemical professional. It is a letter by a PhD scholar that lives in Kazan. He says that why Theresa May is also saying that Russia is highly likely to be blamed for this incident, but why doesn't anyone see that there is some doubt in this wording? According to this Kazan resident, that even in the criminal law, if there is doubt, it is interpreted in favor of the accused. But if we think legally, that is how it is done. Because the accused is not to blame if his guilt is not confirmed. Well, I would like to thank everyone who's writing us letters, because we are reading all of them and we answer to the most. We write responses to the most of them. And we will continue the same in the future. Now I'd like to move on to some other issues that have to do with the Skripal case. We have been talking a lot about the United States accusing Russia. And I would like to return the ball, and I would like to talk more about how the United States is implementing the CWC, what they're doing, what they're not doing. Okay, up to date, the United States is the only CWC party that has chemical weapons. The total volume of this stockpile, including skin agents and nerve agents, stands at 2,616 tons. Those lethal chemical agents are used to equip over 700,000 artillery shells for field and howitzer artillery of different calibers, and over 60,000 unguided 150 millimeters rockets for MLRS. Well, talk about implementing the convention. Oh, I would like to stress one more thing, that over the last year, the elimination of the U.S. chemical stockpiles has stalled. Over the last 5 years, the United States eliminated only 230 tons of chemical weapons. During the negotiations, when discussing the text of the convention, the Washington pressed for a very short timeline. And in accordance with the Article 4 of the Convention, all the state members, due to some requests by Washington, all the state members had only 10 years to carry out, to implement the convention. Well, this mission was an impossible one. And after 2007, these time frame has been shifting, and in 2012 the members of the convention said that the chemical weapons had to be eliminated in the shortest time possible. Russia has concluded its elimination program. Meanwhile, the United States has not been able to do that, citing some financial and organizational and environmental issues. Well, according to official estimates, the chemical weapons will be eliminated in the U.S. by 2023. For a developed country as the United States that has a lot of advanced technologies as well as the sufficient funding, that sounds, well, ridiculous. Here comes a question: why the United States don't want to eliminate this chemical weapons stockpile? What's the problem? And there are a lot of questions that can be asked here.
Another topic related to the U.S. We are greatly concerned by the requests from the illegally kidnapped from Liberia by the special services of the U.S. for the citizen of Russia, Konstantin Yaroshenko. It happened in 2010. She drew our attention to the fact that her father is being unjustifiably searched and humiliatingly searched in the brutest form possible. The diplomats of the General Consulate in New York met our citizen and the prison authorities, and the representatives of the embassy in Washington tried to do that in order to put an end to the endless breach of his rights. We believe that this behavior by the American prison authorities is absolutely unacceptable, especially regarding the fact that Yaroshenko's health has been greatly undermined as a result of a very cruel beatings when he was being kidnapped. It now all resembles some kind of a medieval torture. We hoped that the U.S. officials who can influence the situation would show a degree of humanism that they try to declare that they follow. And on our part, we will try to protect and defend all our citizens from any kind of breaches of their rights and to advocate for their swift return to Russia. Another topic I would like to comment on: the statements of the Minister of Europe and Foreign Affairs, Mr. Le Drian of France. We can see a number of hostile statements coming from everywhere, and unfortunately also coming from the Minister of Foreign Affairs of France. They are quite confusing, but they seem to be in line with the wave of Russophobia we currently observe in the West. We see a tinge of sadness left, as the French would put it. During his recent visit to Kiev on the 23rd of March, the French minister urged to put pressure on Russia, requiring it to fulfill its obligations according to the Minsk agreements. And he said that Russia should ensure full ceasefire on the ground. I would like to recommend to the minister to read once again the package of measures of the Minsk agreements. It would not take a lot of time. It is a rather concise document. The obligations of Russia do not differ from the obligations undertaken by France and Germany. So if somebody wants to shift the responsibility for the ceasefire regime and to do it in publicly, it would be only logical to do the same thing themselves. And the joint statement by the three presidents, which was adopted together with the package of measures, in this statement, France and Germany undertook to provide technical aid to the restoration of banking system in the conflict zone, including through the creation of international mechanism and boosting social payments. And now a question arises whether our partners in the Normandy Quartet are going to fulfill their promise. We are of the impression that Paris wants to be an honest broker in the Ukrainian resolution, but that's no more than a bluff. And in 2014, the Europeans were not brave enough to request the Maidan authorities to fulfill the obligations they signed with Mr. Yanukovych, and which were breached the very next day. And they do not see that Kyiv refuses to implement the Minsk agreements, and they try to shift their responsibility and to demand something of Russia, although Russia is not party to the conflict. But those were not the only statements made by Mr. Le Drian. He also weighed in on the Skripal case. Well, he didn't say anything new. And the statement that Novichok can be produced only by Russians, and that's why there is no other plausible explanation for its origins. This reminds me of Lewis Carroll. This is not the thing we should hear from the Minister of Foreign Affairs of France. We hope that France would stop generating those hollow allegations. And they would provide a structured and robust response to those 10 questions regarding the Skripal case, which we addressed to Paris. And Boris Johnson, when he mentioned Dostoevsky, he really set us on the right path. And we would like to take it from him and remind Mr. Le Drian Jules Verne. Of Jules Verne. There's this immortal book of his, I'm not sure that they know it in France, The Children of Captain Grant. I'm not sure that they like it in France, but our children do love it. Chapter 16. Paganel, in his talk with his company, those who accompanied him talked about those tribes, and they thought that the colonies made the tribes extinct, and they have expelled them from the places of their dwelling. And this very harmful policy of the English could be seen in all of their colonies, especially in Australia. And during the colonization, at the very start, they regarded those tribes as some kind of wild animals. They were hunting them with guns and were pillaging their villages. And they were citing lawyers who declared that as those people are illegal, killing those untouchables is not a crime. The Sydney newspapers even suggested the radical way of getting rid of the indigenous tribes around Gunter Lake. And that is mass poisoning. Wonderful. Once again, Jules Verne would be beneficial for both Mr. Le Drian and his Australian colleagues. I'm not even talking about London. And such quotes, such passages, and such links to fiction and to documentalist literature. We do get a lot of those.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR. And we're listening to this week's press conference at the Russian Foreign Ministry with spokesperson Maria Zakharova.